We are 2 weeks into a series called The Love Dare. If you have not gotten your book, you can get those out on the foyer after service. They're $10. Now, we are not doing a Love Dare message today, so if you're already behind 2 weeks into it, you get kind of a bonus week to catch up. Let me encourage you to do this. This is one of the most practical books about building love. Love just doesn't happen. Well, it happens at first, and then over time, it just sort of kind of floats away unless you give attention to it. It's kind of like a garden. We have a garden in our backyard, and if I give no attention to it, it slowly disintegrates into ugliness. It has as much beauty as I give attention to. Now, God is a great gardener, but I will tell you that without a human gardener involved, it still turns to ugliness. Love is the same kind of thing. If you were with us the first week, you noticed that we had an easel here that was blank. But there was a picture in the artist's mind, in Greg's mind. And he had a picture of what this is going to be like, and he explained this to you. And then last week, he had sort of the pencil drawing of it. And then this week, you see he's taken it another stage. This is how love is. Love is something you do. It's something you put into practice. You decide, I am going to love like God loves me. No matter what the response or the reply, whether I get love back or not, whether I'm questioned or not, I am just going to be this kind of person. I am going to put paint on this picture. I'm going to add love to my home. I'm going to add love to my wife. I'm going to add love to my kids. I'm going to add love to the people that God puts in my life. That's this God kind of love, agape love. That over the course of time, you begin to see something of beauty. If you take out your message outline for today, I'd like to talk about mothers today, a message called The Living Connection. And I know some of you always appreciate a good laugh. And who better than Anita Renfro? So let's go from there. She could have written a lot of that one. I'm always amazed at what mothers are able to do. My mother had some one-liners I will never forget. One of them was always this, and somehow she was able to sell this: "You're going to put your eye out." I always wondered about that. Or one of the ones that struck fear in us kids was, "Don't make me come in there." You did not want my mom in your room if that happened. Or this one was always curious to me: "You broke it. Are you happy now?" Always wanted to say, "Yeah, Mom, I'm just as delighted as can be." Moms have the ability to fold fitted sheets. Now, I do laundry in our house. I've been doing laundry for a long time. I still don't know how to fold fitted sheets. Mothers have the ability to cry when they're happy. I've only done that, I think, a couple times in my entire life. Mothers are able to retrieve unflushable objects from the toilet with bare hands. My mother had, she could say in 1,000 words, one thing with just 2 words that were silent: the look. You did not want to get that look from my mother. My mother had 2 sons, me and my little brother, and I still remember some of the things she pulled out of our jeans pockets when she did laundry, some of which were dead and some of which were still alive. Some of you have sons, you know what that means. Mothers have the ability to get by with little sleep, little vacation, not much pay, not much gratitude, and somehow still think it's the best job in the world, at least on most days. My mother died about 10 years ago, and it was hard losing my mom. Because my mom was a great shaper in my life when I was young, but when I became an adult, she knew that her mothering was not done. And one of the things that my mother did was she was a tremendous cheerleader for me. When my mother died, I had probably situations that happened every day for about 1.5 years where something good would happen, I should call Mom. And the reason I said that is because nobody could celebrate my wins better than my mother. She was amazing when it came to that thing. But my mother paid a great price for being a mother to us 3 kids. When you're a young mother, there's a physical price to pay. somehow meals just show up. Three meals a day just show up for you, just magically. Somehow you get to where you're supposed to be every day and you're picked up. Maybe not always on time, but you do make it home. Somehow your clothes just magically reappear in your dresser or in your closet week after week after week. Somehow those projects get done even though you didn't start them until the night before about 9 o'clock. Not to mention any names here when I was that age. My mother paid a great physical price for her kids growing up. But my mother also paid a great emotional price, especially when we got into our teen years. And most moms are familiar with this emotional price. I remember telling my mother when I was in my teen years, we were talking about laundry, and she was trying to get me to put my clothes right side out before I put them in the hamper. And I unfortunately said to her, "But Mom, my laundry is your job." Now, I thought I was just stating a fact. Now, I realized I was not stating a fact. That it was all she could keep from belting me from Houston, Texas to Shreveport, Louisiana at that moment. Somehow, she decided that she was still going to do my laundry. The only reason I can think of was that she knew I was going to screw it up if I did it myself, and it would cost more to buy clothes out of the family budget, which we didn't have. Another time, I remember standing in front of the refrigerator, and I wanted to have breakfast, and I opened the refrigerator and said, "Mom, there's no milk for my cereal!" As if all of life had somehow stopped. And it was her job to go to the store and to make sure, maybe the night before, that Seth Jr. was going to have milk for his cereal the next day. Somehow, my mother just kept on going. I think probably one of the things that I pushed my mom right to the edge one time. And there was something in me that said, "You shouldn't do this. This is a bad idea." But unfortunately, I didn't listen to that wisdom. We were on vacation out here in California from Colorado. And my mom and I were having a discussion about something. And she did not agree with my position, and I did not agree with her position. And I said, "Mom, just go to hell." Now, little did I know that at the time I was actually on my way there. And she had every reason to help that process continue faster, like within moments, if could be. Somehow she seemed to be able to absorb that. And it just sort of, it's one of those things that just kind of flaked up and then just kind of crumbled right in front of us. I remember just being absolutely stunned that she didn't read me the riot act. Now, there were plenty of times where she read me the riot act. But there was a particular kind of love that was demonstrated at that moment I will never forget. When I said that, the absolute worst to her. If you're a mother, you know all kinds of sacrifices and pain. Sometimes that's physical pain, but it seems to me the worst of that is the emotional pain that our kids put you through. This is not surprising in the Bible. Genesis 3:16, after Adam and Eve sin, and God gives the tells them, you're going to live in a fallen world. It's not going to be like it was supposed to. And he tells this to daughters of Eve. To the woman, he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." This is not just bad news when you are giving birth to children. What he's saying here is that, ladies, you are going to live in a world where the ones you love the most, your children, are going to bring you pain. And then the second part of that verse, it's not quite clear enough in the translation in the English. But he talks about Eve's relationship with her husband. He says, "Your desire will be for your husband." The Hebrew word for desire means this: the desire to control, the desire to change, the desire to shape, to redo, to renovate. That is in everyone, every daughter of Eve fights that desire. You are going to, that desire to control him, to try to change him, to get this knucklehead to do what you want him to do and what he should do. And he will rule over you, meaning it's not going to work. That is going to be very painful to you ladies, both as a, in your home, both as a mother and as a wife. Now, the silver lining is these things are meant to drive you to find the deeper love that you can find only in your relationship with God. There is a silver lining to this pain. There are lots of illustrations of the kind of pain that a woman goes through as a mother. In Genesis 26, when Esau, a son, was 40 years old, he married Judith, not our own Judith here. He married Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and also Basemath, having here to Timothy. In Timothy's life, there were two women who lived out so that their faith, so that they could say, remember when? And then your adult daughter is going to go, oh yeah, I remember you saying that. I remember you doing that. I got it. Your mother is going to be working to keep you from being one of those real housewives. Backside of your handout. It's Mother's Day. I remember when I was a kid, I always wondered, when am I going to get Mom for Mother's Day? I remember when I finally had a job for the first time and actually had some money. I went to the drugstore and I bought something I had never been able to afford before. I bought my mother a cooker, a deep fat fried cooker, thinking I had just gotten her the gift of a lifetime. Somehow Mother smiled when she opened up the gift. I don't ever remember using that. Don't ever remember seeing that. What is it that when you give a gift, you want to give something not just that you like giving, but that the person likes receiving? Well, the scripture has a couple ideas for you to think about. And they won't cost you a thing. On the back of your handout, Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You may not like obeying your parents. There were times I did not like obeying my parents. But I can tell you it's worth it. Kept me out of a lot of trouble. Second one, honor.